From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Home Blessings Extended. The text is Psalm 128 and verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. This is a promise to the God-fearing man who walks in the ways of holiness with earnest heed. He shall have domestic blessedness. His wife and children shall be a source of great home happiness. But then, as a member of the church, he desires to see the cause prosper, for he is as much concerned for the Lord's house as for his own. When the Lord builds our house, it is but fitting that we should desire to see the Lord's house builded. Our goods are not truly good unless we promote by them the good of the Lord's chosen church. Yes, you shall get a blessing when you go up to the assemblies of Zion. You shall be instructed, enlivened, and comforted where prayer and praise ascend, and testimony is borne to the great sacrifice. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Nor shall you alone be profited. The church itself shall prosper. Believers shall be multiplied, and their holy work shall be crowned with success. Certain gracious men have this promise fulfilled to them as long as they live. Alas, when they die, the cause often flags. Let us be among those who bring good things to Jerusalem all their days. Lord, of thy mercy, make us such. Amen.
Thank you.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As part of this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the theme, the principles of divine judgment. Our text is found in chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. A difficulty in dealing with this text arises from the question of the relationship between justification by faith and believers being rewarded according to their works. There have been a number of erroneous approaches to this passage, most of which end up teaching justification by works, which is far from what Paul intended. Rather than being the basis of our salvation, our good works are the evidence that we are really saved. The passage speaks of what Christians are seeking: glory, honor, and immortality. Paul assures them that they will get what they are seeking. Now here's Dr. Cairns to continue this message, judgment according to works and justification by faith.
The instrumental cause of our justification is faith. Faith is the hand that reaches out to receive it. Faith is the instrument whereby it becomes ours. And the evidential effect of justification is good works. In other words, our works demonstrate to us and demonstrate to the world the reality of what God has declared when he says, I declare that you're justified. Let me try to give you an illustration of this from Scripture. We may say that we have a double witness to our justification, one sealed and one hidden, one open to view, one not. Back in the book of Jeremiah, you read of God instructing Jeremiah to go and buy the field that belonged to his uncle in Anathoth. Now, I'm not going into the reason for Jeremiah buying that. This was, in many ways, a promise that the Israelites or the men of Judah who were going to be driven into captivity would actually come back. Now, I don't want to get into the details, but he bought the field. And there were two evidences or two deeds to the transaction. One sealed and one open. Now I come to the New Testament. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Here's this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the secret seal. It's not open. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And here's the second. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the open seal. No man can see into the secret decree of God. He knoweth them that are his. No man can penetrate that. We must be satisfied with the open evidences that he has led before our view. And that's precisely the role of works in our justification. They are the evidence for all to see that God has indeed justified us and brought us into full salvation. So the judgment, according to works, is in the final analysis a judgment upon our faith. I want you to see that. Judgment according to works is a judgment as to whether we have saving faith or not. And here is an interesting thing. In Luke chapter 12, verse 46, you find that the servant who does not do the Lord's will is to be condemned. Why? Because he's an unbeliever. Condemned as an unbeliever. It's not because of the quality or the quantity of his good works. The good works simply show what he is. Or the bad works simply show what he is. And this is why there's such an emphasis here on this connection with judgment and good works in the case of believers. You stop to think of it. The judgment day is not a day for God to discover grounds for accepting us. In fact, the judgment day is not intended for God's sake at all. It's for our sake. And it's to let the world see the rightness of God's dealings with us. I see that day as a day when God is going to point to his people whom he has justified and show them off to the entire creation and say, what a wonderful work my grace has done in these people. I've given them a title to glory by the imputed righteousness of Christ. I've also made them meet for glory by the sanctification of the Spirit, as their perseverance in good work amply proves. They were born sinners just like everybody else, but my grace has made the difference. It's not that their works save them, but those works demonstrate that God has saved them solely through the merits of Christ. Romans 2 must be seen in that light. And I think when you look at Romans 2, that's exactly what it's saying. But this is where we run into our difficulty with translation in verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, he gives eternal life. Now, I have to confess to you that that's the most obvious translation of the Greek text. And most people support it. But it labors under one stupendous difficulty. Have a look at it. To them who by, notice the word by, patient endurance, or patient continuance. What does by mean? In English there, it can only mean through or by means of. That's the only possible meaning in this verse. The trouble is that the Greek preposition that it's translating does not carry that meaning. And if Paul had intended to say that, he would have had to have used a totally different word. This word means according to, with reference to, with respect to. I think we may well put it in keeping with or in conformity with. You know, when you look at that in Romans 2, doesn't that make a whole lot of sense? God will reward us in keeping with our perseverance and well-doing, and in keeping with our pursuit of His glory. That makes a whole lot of sense. After all, isn't that how God deals with us now? We're not justified by what we do now. But tell me, does God bless you more when you pray or when you don't pray? Does God reward you more for faithfulness or unfaithfulness? Here and now, God rewards us in keeping with our works. Yet He saves us totally by grace. We must face that, you know. Let's not make the grace of God a cloak for unrighteousness. Let's not fool ourselves that we believe in sovereign grace, therefore it doesn't matter if we pray. I knew a preacher went to one of our churches. I hope he just got tongue-tied and said the wrong thing. But what he said was, God has His elect. God will bring in His elect. You don't need to pray. And that's the devil's lie. Churches that don't pray will not be blessed with the saving of souls. Churches that do pray will be blessed with the saving of souls. Take it into your own home. Parents who give themselves to God in the full, honest dedication of their hearts in submission to God and His will see the fruit of that even in their homes. But parents who think that they can say, I'm a Christian, and go and live for the world and let the television rear their kids, will see their children reap the awful results. Well, we're saved by grace. Alone. Through faith alone. But here and now, God rewards us according to, in conformity with, in keeping with how we're living. Paul's saying that's what will happen on that day. The reward will be in keeping with the development of Christian character, as I pointed out last week, the totality of the conduct that grace has wrought within us. Now, all that is very true. The only difficulty is inserting it into verse 7 as it appears in the Authorized Version. Read this. To them who in keeping with patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. What on earth could that mean? That would say, you see, that God will reward those who are seeking, and their seeking is in keeping with their good works. That doesn't really make any sense. And any time you run into a translation that doesn't make sense, you know it's not the meaning of the Holy Ghost. What Paul is saying is the very opposite, that God will reward in keeping with their good works those who seek. And so, looking at that, many scholars, I could give you some of the greatest linguists and theologians in history, who have come to this conclusion. Martin Luther was one. R.C.H. Lenskin, great modern, or at least 20th century Lutheran scholar. John A. Bengel, going back a few years before Lenskin, obviously, and many others have taken this same view. That verse 7 actually says this: to those who seek eternal life, God will give glory, honor, and incorruptibility in keeping with their perseverance in good work. On the other hand, to those who act out of contention, who on the one hand disobey the truth and on the other hand obey unrighteousness, will be indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man that doeth evil. Now watch this carefully. To those who are seeking eternal life, God will give, and he gives these three things, and verse 10 actually tells us these are the things he gives: glory and honor and immortality, or glory and honor and peace. To those who are seeking eternal life, God will give glory and honor and immortality in keeping with their persistence in good work. Now, where is the contradiction of justification by faith? It's exactly what I was saying a minute ago about how God deals with us now. There's no idea of human merit, our works deserving anything. When Paul talks about our works deserving anything in this passage, the only thing he mentions is condemnation. This is grace rewarding God's people in keeping with their seeking of eternal life. And that is in perfect accord with Paul's insistence on justification by faith alone. So as we come to the close tonight, what I'm saying is that what saints will receive will accord perfectly with what they have sought. In a nutshell, that's the doctrine. And it's a wonderful doctrine. What we will receive will accord with what we have sought. In fact, I would extend that beyond the saints and say that's true of every one of us. God will give you what you're honestly looking for. And those who are so taken up with sin and the world, so blinded with the glitter of sin in the world, that they really have little interest in God, His Christ, His law, or His gospel, God will give you what you're looking for. May not then be what you want. It's what you'll get. And if you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, this is a glorious truth. All that God gives you will be in accord with what you've been seeking. What are saints seeking? They're seeking eternal life. Now, seek does not necessarily mean they're seeking for what they don't have or what they have lost. It means they're seeking diligently. They're longing for, as I think of Paul's words in Hebrews 11:14, that they seek a country. They're pilgrims on the way to heaven. The saints' everlasting rest is their passion, even as they pass through the world. That's, I pointed out last week, did I not? This is the great mark of a Christian. It's a passion for eternity. We're in the world, we're not of it. We use the world, we don't abuse the world. We're seeking for that country. That's the mark of a Christian. And we're taught here, we will receive everything we have sought. You're seeking for glory. The glory there has the idea of the full, untrammeled revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The honor is the well done of God. The honor is saying, I care not for riches or gold or reputation or what man may think or say. I am living for the well done of God. That's the honor. The incorruptibility, or as Paul puts it in verse 10, is the peace. The absolute, irreversible enjoyment of all God's provision for all eternity. He says, you're seeking for that. You're living for that. That controls how you think. That controls how you act. That controls what you do, where you go. It controls everything in your life. You are consumed with that. Then that's what you'll get. It's not that you deserve it, but Christ has purchased it for you. He will give it to you. You'll get all you seek.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.